Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We are now at the end of the second parak of Nedarim on Mishnah He, which is on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We have an interesting dispute between the Ran and other Rishonim as to how to read this Mishnah, which I'll share with you as soon as we get into it. But the Mishnah itself, which is or isn't a continuation of Mishnah Dalet thematically, and therein lies the Machloket, will be dissected very briefly, and then we'll have a tangential discussion both of legal and extra-legal import relating to an area which is highly sensitive. Nadar b'cherem, v'amar lo nadarti ela b'cherem o shel yam. If a person says, this is like a cherem, and then afterwards says, what I meant was a fishing net, which is also the word cherem, as I've given one example in verse 1 on the page from Yechezkel Amud Bet, but it shows up several times in Tanakh. Or b'korban, if he said this is like a korban, marlon adarti ala b'korban, not shemalachim, and what I meant was tribute given to kings, not a korban in its usual sense. Now, the Ran reads this as another example of what we had in the earlier Mishnah when there was equivocal meaning of cherem, cherem kohanim, cherem shemaim, and simply this example, the explanation that the fellow was given is a little bit more far-fetched. And therefore, the Ran reads this as being connected to the previous Mishnah, and even in the run, in the text, he explains this Mishnah, back at Daf Yudchev on a bet, connected to the previous Mishnah. Other Rishonim really see it as divided, and say that in the other case, it's really not all that different, but in the other case, we had an example of statements which really were equivocal, and one meaning really would be mutar, and the other really would be asur, and then we opt for the default lechumra, unless he explains it differently. Here, the fellow said something which, given the circumstances, only meant an isur, and later he gave some really queasy explanation as to what he meant, and the explanation is given later when he has already violated the neder, and said, oh, I didn't mean that, because I meant this, and how do we relate to it? And that's why they read the Mishnah the way that our texts have it printed, as being presented separately and explain it separately. Okay, in any case, we move on. If the guy says, Hare atzmi korban, he says, I myself, now the word etzem also means a bone, am a korban, meaning to a particular person, I'm osur. V'yamar lo nadarti ala be'etzem shehinachti liliot noderbo. He said, actually, what I meant was that particular bone that I hold on to, and I refer to it every time I want to take a neder, so I was just reiterating that it's a neder, but I haven't really said anything. He says, Konam ishtin hanetli. He says, or my wife is usher to me. Actually, I was referring to my ex-wife that I already divorced. Shigirashti. Al kulan ein nishalin lahem. All of these cases, we don't ask, which means the fellow does not come forward to ask Shailat Chacham. You know, the implication is that just the netter is not existent at all. V'im nishalu, but if they came to ask, on shinotan, we punish them, machmirin alayim, we're stringent with them. Divir a mayor. It sounds like we're saying two opposite things. One is not a netter at all, and the other is, if the guy shows up to ask if it's a netter, we treat it very seriously. So hard to decipher. We'll figure it out in a minute. Chacham omrim, in that case, potchin lain petach makom acher. We had this earlier in the first parak, in the second parak, that we find him a release from a different perspective. And as we find some other reason to release him from the netter, but not because it's a nothing. In other words, we treat it like a real netter. We take it seriously, even though we really know it's not, so that they won't be lenient about nedarim. But we find some other way out of it. So we don't take the stringent approach and practice that Rameir advocated, and we do eventually get them out of the netter, but we don't let them think that such nedarim are meaningless, which in effect they are, so that they should not be too light about nedarim. Now, the Gemara immediately picks up on this. Says, ha gufikasha, we have an internal contradiction. Amarte nishalim lahen. First you said you don't even go and ask about them. Vaharatani nishalu on shinotam machmin ralayan. And then we said that we're very stringent. Amaryura hachitani, this is how we read. Uchulan ein tzichin she'ela, you don't have to ask. Bamedvar memorim tamin chacham. When do we not need to ask if the guy taking it was a Taman Chacham? Because the guy knew that he was taking a non-netter, and he was saying it for a rhetorical effect or something else. Therefore, he doesn't even have to ask. We know it's not a netter, etc. But if you have an Amaretz, an ignoramus, who comes to ask to try to be released. He's coming to be released because he thinks it's a real neder. And now he wants to take Nedarim and get released from them willy-nilly on Shino Tanu Machmirin Alehen. Good. So now, Bishlama Machmirin, I understand what the stringency is. Lo Patchinam Lebacharata. We don't allow him to just say, I didn't mean it. We have to find some other way for him to get released. We'll deal with Pitchin Nedarim later on in the Masachet. Ala on Shine Chidami. What does punish mean? What's the punishment? So the Bavli here has one answer. In a minute, I'll share with you Yerushalmi's answer, which is very different. Kedetanya, Misha Nazar V'Aval Naziruto. Let's say a guy took a vow of Nazirut, and then he violated it. He was drinking wine. We don't even sit down to talk with him to find a way out of the neder until he at least behaves like a proper Nazir for the length of time that he was violating. So if he took a neder of Nazirut, and for a week he was drinking wine, and then he realized he's done a terrible thing, we first make him at least have a week of not drinking wine and of avoiding all the things a Nazir has to avoid, and then we'll sit down and talk with him about his neder and see if there's some way to release it. That's the punishment. So we do the same thing here. If this guy took a neder, becherem, and then he was violating it, and he said, oh, I didn't mean that, I meant a fishing net. So we, at least, according to our mayor, we at least make him abstain from whatever it is he took a neder from for the length of time that he violated, and then we'll sit down and talk with him. That's the onesh. Right? Parenthetically, the issue we just raised as a support is with Nazirut. Rabbi Yossi says that's only if the Nazirut is a small Nazirut. But avam Nazirut Meruba, let's say a guy took a Nazirut for a year or two, and then for 3 months he was drinking wine, then what happens? Dayol l'shloshim yom. Then we make him practice Nazirut just for 30 days. We don't make him day 3 months, the same amount of time. If it's greater than that, then we make him just practice Nazirut for 30 days, then we sit down with him. Good. Rav Yosef, hov amar Rabbanan iskakim lo. So Rav Yosef made the following observation. Since the Rabbanan say, we do not sit down and even talk with him until he's fulfilled a proper period. If a Beit Din chooses to do so, it's not a good thing. It's not like they're being extra kind. We're not saying the Beit Din doesn't have the responsibility to. It means Beit Din may not, because they are promoting the idea that Nedarim can be treated lightly, and therefore they shouldn't do that. He took it further, and he said, we actually throw the guy in Chayram for treating the Nedarim so lightly. So that is the way the Bavli deals with it. Yerushalmi tells a story that a person made such a neder, and he came to Reb Meir for Hatara. Reb Meir sent him to Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Yehuda sent him to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef sent him to back to their mayor, and that's what the onesh was. The onesh was that we really trouble the guy, and we give him a lot of tzarot before we release him of the neder as a way of enforcing the idea that you can't be so light with nedarim. All right. Chacham omim lo potchim lo petach. Now, Tana, the rest of this of the piece is all tangential, and it's instructive as far as how we should behave towards Nedarim, but it's going to go from there to another topic. Le'olam al tiragil b'Nedarim. All right, so the first lesson is, do not be accustomed to making Nedarim. Shesof chalim ol b'shvuot. Eventually, you'll take a shvuah, and you'll violate the shvuah, and that's a very serious thing. Right. In other words, even though Nedarim is something that's technically permitted, it's good to avoid because it leads to far worse things. And we'll see three other examples of that same sign of a sort of instruction. Don't be too accustomed to hanging out with an Amah Aretz, somebody who is not careful about Shumotu Masrot. Eventually you'll eat with him, eventually you'll feel the need to accept what he gives you, and you're going to eat Tevel. He's going to end up feeding you Truma because he's not careful about these things. Do not speak overly much or unnecessarily with women. Eventually it'll lead to adultery. So evidently the Isha referring to here is a married woman, of course married to somebody else. Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Yoshia Omer, he picks up on this theme and he says, Kol hatsofe bin Hashim, anybody who looks gazingly at women, sofo b'avidei avira, eventually will sin sexually. Anybody who stares at the heel, and the idea is even the heel of a woman, he's going to end up with children who are not good children. Now, what does this mean? Rav Yosef Bishto Nida. Rav Yosef takes one take on it. He says he's referring to your wife when she's in Nida, and therefore your chances are good that if you're staring at her and getting excited by her physical appearance, you're going to end up having relations with her, and it's forbidden. And Chazal understood in as many examples of this where they made said such statements that if someone has relations with his wife when it's inappropriate, the children will not be good children. Now, Rav Shimon Lakish takes a different approach, which is Akeba Diktani, when he said if a person looks at his wife's heel, he doesn't mean the heel, it's a euphemism. Makomatinofer, he's referring to the genitalia. Shumchvan keneged ha'akev, because in wearing normal clothes, that's something that directly is seen by the heel, if you can imagine. Tanya. A brayta that goes on the pasuk after Matan Torah, Bavur tiyeh yirato al pneichem, that Moshe says Hashem is coming to you so that His fear will be on you. What is that reference to? Zubusha. This is a reference to shame. Shame is a good thing. Levelti tachatao. The rest of the pasuk says, in order that you not sin, mamed shabusha mevi aladei yirat chet. So you see the causality, the causal relationship, that when you have shame, then you will not sin. In other words, God has come to you in order that He has His fear be on you, and you not sin. His fear be on you is a reference to shame. So shame is a good thing. Now, mikan amru siman yafeh badam shubayshan. It's a good sign that a person is a little embarrassed, is a little shame. Acherim omrim, other people say, kol adam hamitpayesh lo b'mehirahu chote. Another take on this: anybody who is ashamed doesn't sin so quickly. Umishayin aboshepanim, somebody who's brazen and has no shame, biyadua shelo amdu avotav al Har Sinai. We know that he's really from other stock, that his parents were not at Har Sinai, because everybody at Har Sinai saw God and was embarrassed and was ashamed and gave that as a legacy to their children. Amar b'yocham ben d'havoy. So now we have the report of a particular Rabbi Yocham ben d'havoy. It was a Tana. The Malachi Asheret, which right now means, provisionally, angels, told me four things. We'll find out later that they're not angels and why he called them that. Chigrun ne'mahavin, why are children born lame? Ne'shofchim et shulchanam, because they turn their table over, which means that they have relations with their wives, or their wives are facing away from them. Ilmim ne'mahavin, why are their people born mute? This is a reference now to their parents' relations that they had that led to their formation. Because the father kisses the genitalia, and therefore the child born is mute. Why are children born deaf? Because the parents are talking during intercourse. Why are children born blind? Because the men are staring at that place. Now, that place is referring to female genitalia. Urminhu. Now we have a challenge to this ruling. Shaluat Ima Shalom. Ima Shalom is an interesting character. She is the wife of Rabbi Eliezer and the sister of Rabban Gamliel. There's several very interesting stories told about her, notably about how Rabban Gamliel died when one day she wasn't attending and her husband said Tachanun after the cherem that was put on Rabbi Eliezer and Baba Metzia. We'll get to it in time. Anyway, in any case, she said, why are your children so beautiful? I'm not sure if they asked this question because neither she nor her husband was particularly attractive. Unclear. But they asked, why are your children so beautiful? Amrala, and she said, my husband doesn't speak with me, meaning speak about issues of relations, not at the beginning of the night, at the end of the night, but right in the middle of the night. And when he does speak with me, and now we know that this is euphemistic, he uncovers a few handbreadths, but he keeps a few handbreadths covered. In other words, there's a certain modesty in their interaction, in their intercourse. And when he has relations with me, it's like he's being forced. He doesn't take necessarily great pleasure in it, but it's like he's forced. And I asked him, why do you do this? In other words, why do you wait until the middle of the night? He said, because I don't want to be thinking about any other women. The beginning of the night, I've been out in the world, and end of the night, I'm going to be going out in the world. I don't want to be thinking about any other woman when I'm with you. And so, because if I would, then it's like my kids would be sort of quasi-mamzerim. In other words, if I'm having relations with you, my wife, but thinking about somebody else, it's like a stain on my children. So I wanted to make sure to have relations with you only in the middle of the night. So we see, though, from all of this, that they would speak during relations. And you just got through saying that speaking during relations leads to terrible things. So the answer is halokasha. Hava mili de tashmish, hava mili acharnaita. If they're talking about tashmish itself, things related to sexual congress, then that's fine. If they're talking about other things, then it's inappropriate. So in a sense, it's almost raising the issue of intimacy to say, when you're being intimate, speak about intimacy. Don't speak about other things. Focus on the close relationship. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, Zu divrei Yochanan ben Dehavai. That report of those four terrible things you shouldn't do and the results that happen is the report of Yochanan ben Dehavai. Aval amru chachamim, but chachamim disagree. Ein halachak Yochanan ben Dehavai. We do not accept this. Halakom ha-shadam rotzeh lasot bishto oseh. Whatever a man wants to do with his wife, he may do. What that ends up meaning, of course, is that whatever style or form of sexual intercourse that they want to have is acceptable. Mashallah basar habami beit hatavach. It's like if you get some meat. You want to eat it salted? Makasha. Tzli ochlo. You want to roast it? Fine. Mevushal ochlo. You want to cook it? Fine. Shaluk ochlo. You want to boil it? Fine. In other words, it is your pleasure to take, and as long as it's proper, just like as long as the meat is kosher, you can eat it salted, you can eat it roasted. In the same way, your wife is mutter to you, as long as it is your wife, and it's a time that she's mutar to you, you can do it in any way that you want. V'chein dag habam in beit hatzayah, the same thing with a fish. The fish will come up in a second. Amar Meimar, Mar Malachi Asharet. So Meimar said, who are these Malachi Asharet that Yochanan ben Dehavai was quoting? It must be Rabbanan, it must be the rabbis. Ditei Malachi Asharet Mamash, if they really were angels, Amay Amar B'Yochanan Malachi Yochanan ben Dehavai. How could somebody say that we don't follow that? Malachi Asharet, if they really are God's ministering angels, must be giving us some very deep divine reality. How can we say that we don't accept that Lahalacha? The answer actually could be that it could be Malachi Asharet and Lobashamayim He, but in issues like this, we would certainly respect the divine message more than in areas of strict halacha. But that again goes back to the sugi in Baban Siyadaf Nuntet and several other sugiot. In any case, ha'inu b'kiyu b'tzurat ha'vlad tfei, but there's another reason, because after all, these Malachi Asharet are the ones who also attend to the development during gestation, and they would know why a child is developing poorly. And therefore, they would really be able to say, you know what, this child is developing this way because of the way his parents acted when they conceived him. So it must be that these Malachi Asharet are not angels, but rather are rabbis. V'amai karulu Malachi Asharet, so why did he call them Malachi Asharet? Demetzayni ke Malachi Asharet, they are as perfect and pure as Malachi Asharet. Good. Now a story. Ahida toy lekami de Rebbe, a woman came to Rebbe. Amralo, Rebbe arachti lo shulchan. She was complaining. She said, Rebbe, I set the table for him, and he turned it upside down. In other words, my husband requested of me or got me to have relations while facing down. Amarla, he said, Biti, Torah hi tiratcha, v'ani ma'aselach. He said, the Torah permitted you to him and permitted that to him. What do you want me to do? It's not unclear if the woman was coming to complain or really to ask whether this was appropriate behavior. So you had a woman who came to Rav. Amralo Rebbe, arachti lo shulchan v'afacho. Same thing. Amar, maishna min benita. He said, how's that different than a fish? In other words, the husband can enjoy you however he wants, just like a man can eat his fish the way he wants. Okay, now, the pasuk, very famous pasuk, v'lotatur achrei levavchem, the Torah says, about tzitzit, you should not stray after your eyes and after your hearts. What's that? Amikanam Rebbe, al yishte adam b'kos zer yitein enav b'kos acher. A person literally should not drink one cup and be looking at another cup. In other words, he should not be having relations with his wife while he's thinking about another woman. Now that should be fairly straightforward. So Amaravina lo nitzuchay lada filu shtei nashav. He said what that's referring to is even if you have two wives and while you're having relations with one, you're thinking about the other, that's the acharei levavchem. When you're being intimate with your wife, you should be thinking about her and only about her. And we quote a pasuk in Yechezkel, uvarotimikem hamordim vapushimbi. Those of you who rebel and are sin against me, what is this a reference to? Levi elu b'nei tesha midot. This is a reference to children of nine kinds of circumstances, which are all negative. And the mnemonic is asnat mishagach. What is asnat? Asnat is really two things. B'nei ema and b'nei anusa. Children of fear and children of coercion. In other words, where the husband either frightens his wife, or intimidates his wife, or actually physically coerces her into having relations, although the Rosh reads here, instead of Ema b'nei Amma, children of a handmaid, but in any case, Ema v'anusa is the Aleph, b'nei Snua, children of a hated wife, a man doesn't like his wife, he's having relations anyways with her, b'nei Nidui, if the husband is b'nidui, he's been put in a ban by the Beit Din, not a lot of relations, b'nei Tmura, the children of a mix-up, if you will, where the somehow the wrong woman got in there. B'nei Meriva, children of a spat, where the husband and wife are fighting and they have relations anyways. B'nei Shikrut, where the parents are drunk, or one of the parents is drunk at the time. B'nei Grushat Halev, the children of a woman who has already been divorced in the man's heart. Now, he's decided to divorce her, but didn't tell her yet, and is having relations. B'nei Irbuvia, children of mixing, which is meaning that a woman is having relations with multiple men, and therefore, of course, we don't know who this child is. Bnei chatsufa, and the children of a chatsufa. Chatsufa means a brazen woman. What's chatsufa? I mean, here it means a woman who initiates orally, initiates verbally her husband to engage in sex with her. Reini, is that really true? I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Kodam shishto tovato. Anybody whose wife demands relations of him, havim abanim shafilu b'darosh Moshe Rabbeinu la yukamotam. He'll have children greater than anybody who was in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's that? Shenemar, in Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, the people said, Moshe said, please give me for judges, havulachem anashim chachamim unevonim, give me wise and discerning men. And two psukim later, it says, uchtiv akachet rashi shivtechem v'loktiv nevonim. If you look at the pasuk, it says, anashim chachamim viduim, it doesn't say nevonim, it doesn't say discerning. In other words, in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, you couldn't find men of discernment. Nonetheless, uchtiv yisachar chamor garem. In Yaakov's blessing to Yisachar, he's called a donkey who bears the burden. And the children of Yisachar knew discernment of the times, which Chazal typically translated as meaning that they knew how to intercalate the seasons and to read the calendar with astronomy. But the idea is that they are accorded Bina. And if you recall back from the story in Bereshit, Yisachar was a child born of the wife coming up to the husband and saying, you're going to have relations with me. Leah, when she gave Rachel the mandrakes, the Dudaim, got to sleep with Yaakov that night. She went up to Yaakov and said, Kisachor, Sachartecha, B'dudai V'ni, I have hired you out, if you will, or I have paid for you with these mandrakes, therefore you sleep with me, and she ends up having Yisachar. So Yisachar is the result of a brazen woman, and you see, there's great discernment. So how can you say that Bnei Chud Chatsufa is bad? The answer is, Hahi Marzia Artsuya. Yeah, sure, if she appeases him and she's nice to him and then she says, let's have relations, then it's fine. But if she just comes up to him out of the blue and says, I want to have relations with you, then that's already Bnei Chatsufa and that's not good. Hadron Alach Ve'ilu Mutarin. Baruch Hashem, we've completed our study of the second chapter of Masechet Nedarim, and Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin with the third parak, Arba'a Nedarim Hitiru Chachamim, and we'll talk about different kinds of Nedarim that because of their circumstance or their style or their check with reality, are not nidarim.